Quarry is a debut collection of short stories from Ben Halls, set in a fictional West London housing estate called Quarry Lane. The stories see characters face challenges of addiction, deprivation, and the collection has been hailed as a state of the nation work of fiction. Declan Burke has been reading The Quarry and he's with me in studio now. Ben Halls, the author here, this is a debut collection. Do we know much about him and where his own background, Declan?
I know very little, Sean. I did have a good look around on the web, but there seems to be very little information. The little bits and snippets he gives, he says, he worked quite a few minimum wage jobs, he's pumped petrol, those kind of things. He's worked in supermarkets and so forth. And finally, he's always wanted to write, so he went back to college. He got his MFA and so forth. So there's not an awful lot of information out there.
Well, I guess that's because he's the debut author and he's waiting for the work to do, his own writing to do the work for him. So the housing estate of the title here, The Quarry, what sort of place are we talking about in West London?
It's set in West London and it's originally built as one of the new towns, the kind of post-World War II new towns. They were built to be kind of new and shiny. These were going to be the great, perfect places to live for the working class. There's a reference to a manufacturing plant that isn't actually named. And we get the sense that this is where, the people who worked in that plant and their families, these were the perfect kind of housing solution for them. In the intervening decades, the manufacturing plant has declined, obviously. All those kind of good, solid jobs have gone, and the estate seems to have declined with it. It's a very interesting geography. There's semi-detached houses around the fringe. It's a kind of a labyrinth as you move further into the middle. The houses become much more densely built, what we would probably call council houses. They're all side by side. And then in the middle, we have maisonettes and high-rise flats. And then right at the heart of it, there's the high street, which we get a postman's perspective. He grew up in the quarry and he goes back many years later. And he says, it was a beautiful little run of shops when I was growing up. Everything you'd need, paper shop, butchers, greengrocers, fishmongers, barbers, hairdressers. Now, the place where we got our Christmas turkeys is a bookies, open, ready for business as the clock hits 10 in the morning. The greengrocers turn into a cash converters. You get the idea. The entire place has kind of degenerated. It has become much more brash and much more functional, perhaps, than the town planners had
indeed
conceived.
The bookies and the fruit machines play a large role in a couple of the stories. Addiction, gambling addictions are a big theme that he's exploring here, Ben Halls.
Addiction is a huge part of this collection of stories. The fruities, as they're referred to, and alcohol, surprisingly not drugs. Which I would have expected given the context of the stories, but mainly alcohol and mainly gambling. And I think the subtext is that the characters are all, what they're truly addicted to is escapism. They're addicted to the idea of escaping from the quarry, and if they can't actually manage that, they're going to blot it out for short periods.
And yet, for all that desire to get out of the estate, there are a couple of characters who are maybe given opportunities to do that. Whether it's a relationship that could possibly bring them into a new type of life, or whether it's an opportunity that they win a bit of money and they could do something with it, or in one case they scam a bit, rob a bit of money, and you think, well, what's going to happen with that? Money is not necessarily the solution here.
It's very rarely the solution, largely because there generally isn't a huge amount of money. So if someone has a win in the bookies, for example, there's a concept of share the wealth, so all his mates will gather around or be invited around, and everybody gets
gone a day or two in the pub.
Exactly, and so forth. And it's kind of like a folk memory of socialism, perhaps, that that there's a trickle-down economics to everybody. But as you say, in two or three days, the money is gone. That might have been, had they pooled resources, been the capital that two or three could have made a plan to get out of the situation. There's an issue about education and lack of same, but these are intelligent characters.
Yeah.
And as they are succumbing to their various addictions and diseases, they're aware of enough of themselves to be able to tell you that they are succumbing. They have their plans to get out, but they constantly are foiled by the nature of the addiction.
But there's another story of a young fellow who he's at a party with his current girlfriend, and he knows that his ex-girlfriend is going to be there. Now, as the story progresses, it transpires that the ex-girlfriend did get out, did get an education, and has managed to change the life that she could have had she stayed in the estate. he resents her for that.
I think he does, but I think the story is a bit more subtle about that. What that story is really about, the main character, who's, as you say, his ex-girlfriend has gone to university and escaped from the quarry, he is reviled by her and her friends because he tried to keep her down. He tried to keep her in the quarry, whereas his perspective 10 years later on is that, in fact, what he was trying to do was save her from herself. He was trying to tell her, if you don't try, you won't fail. That was effectively his mentality. So, and he was doing her a favour by telling her.
So his attitude was, don't be going to college now because you'll make a fool of yourself and you'll have to come back here with your head between your tails.
Because you can't beat the system. He couldn't beat the system. He thought, as I say, so it's slightly more subtle than that. He thought he was doing her a favour, and he can't understand why the people who did escape now look down on him.
And absent fathers, another very important theme.
It's a very much a recurring motif. The very first story, it's about a character who's seething because his own father did what he wants to do. His own father abandoned his family and got out and now lives in Spain. And his whole kind of raison d'etre is that he is going to escape too and track down his father and show him that, you know, show him what's what, effectively. You know, all sorts of absent fathers. In one, the main character is the absent father because he, you know, he leaves his infant son with his own mother in order to go to the bookies to gamble to make enough money to buy gifts for the yada yada. It goes on and on. Now, at no point is Ben Hall's explicitly state that absent fathers or violent fathers, as the case often is, are the reason why the estate has degenerated in the way it is. But it recurs so often that it's impossible not to believe that it's some kind of element in Ben Hall's theory.
And there are a couple of good fathers that we come across, but quite often they're fathers who have been left either looking after a child because the mother has died, and we're not always told why, or the mother has abandoned the family and they're left looking after things. To what extent do we get, because in the first story we meet one of those characters, and in fact the second story then becomes his tale, if you like. He's at the centre of it.
That's right.
Do the stories overlap like that, or are they quite discreet? Are they quite separate?
They can overlap. They are often discreet. There is, recurring characters, or as you say, once a minor character, one become a major character. To a certain extent, it almost felt as if this was an experimental novel as opposed to a collection of short stories. And that the way that the stories kind of have natural breaks and so forth, the fractured nature of the narrative reflects the way that modern Britain has fractured. Because make no doubt about it, Ben Halls wants us to see the quarry as, you know, suburban England.
Does he mention Brexit? Does the word Brexit get a mention?
He doesn't. And I think, to be fair, it's not a Brexit book. I think it's implicit in this that this didn't happen in the last 4 or 5 years. This happened as a result of the last 30 years. You know, it's a long, it didn't happen overnight. And these people have been abandoned for a long, long time. And this is what the result
but
is.
But is it a State of the Nation book then, as it's been billed?
Is, I don't know if that's the way it was written. That is the way it's been billed, as you say. I think it could certainly be read that way. My opinion is that too many of the stories are too similar. Too many of the characters are too similar. We mentioned addiction. 4, 5, 6 of the stories have to do with that out of a total of 9. I think a little bit more diversity, a little bit more hope.
It's so bleak, just, is it?
You know, it's a big estate. So surely there should have been much more scope for variation. So I don't think it could be State of the Nation. What it is provides, as you said, bleak and grim state of play as Britain is
today. Would you want to see more and read more from Ben Halls?
I would. And I think it's a first collection. It's very solid for a first collection.
All right. Solid first collection is The Judgment of Declan Burke there on Ben Halls' The Quarry, which is published by Dialogue Books.